Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Puck and Pod. My name is Joe.
My name is Brandon.
And I'm Paul.
Well, as you can see, we're doing another remote podcast. Me at my house, Paul at his house, Brandon at his house. We're going to try and make it work. It worked before. We're going to try one more time. Gentlemen, we've got a lot to talk about here. Christmas is just around the corner. Can you believe it?
I can.
I mean, this year has flown by. Am I the only one who's like surprised at how fast this year has gone by?
Well, I'm actually still dwelling on the fact that you think that we're in our houses respectively. I'm actually in your kitchen right now.
Oh, that's why it looked familiar.
Mm-hmm.
Not creepy at all. Not creepy at all.
Yeah. I love your pajamas, Joe.
You take those off. Well, listen, Christmas just around the corner. What is the thing that you guys love to do the most around this time of year? For me, there's always sort of a routine when it comes down to getting ready for Christmas. And that, of course, is Christmas movies. We've had this discussion in the past where we talk about our favorite Christmas movies. Do you have a specific routine when it comes to Christmas movies that you like to stick to?
On Christmas Day, for at least last 30 years, it's been watching Christmas Vacation on Christmas every year. In the last 13-14 years, we've included White Christmas on the same night as well, so we'll watch Christmas Vacation first and then White Christmas right after. Sometimes I fall asleep during White Christmas. It is a lovely movie, just I do fall asleep sometimes. But
trying to get the two movies in.
Yeah, try to get them in, and it's been a tradition for about that long now.
What about you, Brando?
The only one that we're particular on is we like to watch Elf on Christmas Eve. That's our tradition. That's Tiff and I.
Specifically Christmas Eve.
Nice.
Christmas Eve, yeah, before we go to bed. Usually there's some sort of activity you're doing during the day, whether it be a family dinner or I'm not finishing decorating. I mean, not usually that. Usually all decorated by then anyway. But some sort of event that you have to do during the day. But we always make sure we try to make time at night to watch Elf. And I was thinking earlier about this. The only other thing that I could think of, and it was from my childhood, that I did every single year, no matter what, on the same day, and that's Christmas morning, is I would always make sure that I get up earlier than everyone else in the house. And I would watch the same movie. It was a VHS. It came in the book type case, the plastic case.
Yeah.
I think it even had a figurine with it. And it was Indian in the Cupboard.
Oh, wow.
Yes, I remember that.
For whatever reason, I have no idea why.
That's not even really classified as a Christmas movie, is it?
No, it's not. It's not. It was just a Christmas tradition I had because it was Christmas morning. And I probably did it for... probably 8 or 9 years, like from age 10 on, I would say.
Wow. That's interesting.
No idea why. No idea why.
For me, like, really, there, I don't have any specific traditions as to, like, what day I have to watch anything, but I cannot go through the holiday season. It cannot complete unless I have watched Christmas Vacation. Number one has to be the one, like, it's usually the first one that I watch. Home Alone. Nice. And actually, like Home Alone 1 and 2, technically, because I love those movies. But also, the other one that I kind of like, it's emphasized that I have to watch it, and that is A Christmas Story with, you know, Ralphie and all that. I have to watch that movie. And actually, as of late, I've been kind of big on making sure I watch what is it called? A Christmas Carol. With, you know, Ebenezer Scrooge and all that kind of stuff. I don't know what it is. Lately, specifically, I've been more into watching it than when I was a kid. When I was a kid, it was like we had to watch, you know, the Rudolph cartoon, you know, but stop motion. And, like, you know, those movies or whatever. Charlie Brown's Christmas, you know, those kind of movies. I remember I used to watch Animated Garfield's Frosty. Christmas. Yeah, Animated Fraud, exactly, yeah. So those were kind of the routine for me when I was a kid. But as of late, for sure, those specific movies I have to watch before I get through Christmas, just to help put me in the spirit, you know?
I have a few that I have to watch, too.
Yeah.
I was just going to say that I have a few also, not necessarily like timeline wise, but they're like the few that I have to get in. They include Die Hard for sure. You can't get away without that one.
Die Hard 2
as well. The Santa Claus series.
Yeah, Santa Claus. Nice. I love
that. I guess we don't do Die Hard 2, but you're right.
Yeah. I was going to say, too, with the Santa Claus movies, it's sort of an honorable mention, right? You have to make sure you at least watch one of them.
Yeah, that's true.
Office Christmas Party is another one that we really enjoy watching.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Deck the Halls and Jack Frost are the other two that we always make sure we watch.
For me, there's actually one, again, another honorable mention, and that's a newer movie because it came out, I think, in 2022 or 2021, was Violent Night with David Harbour as Santa Claus. Yeah. It's so entertaining. So entertaining.
I would go along the same lines with Krampus as well. It's obviously like the anti-Christmas movie, but it's still actually a really good movie. You know what movie I could not stand as a kid, but I absolutely adore it now, was Nightmare Before Christmas. I did not like it as a kid, but I love it now. Like, the music is just so endearing and so catchy. Like, I will sing those songs at Halloween and Christmas because I love
it. I was going to say, it's like a crossover movie. Yeah.
What didn't you like about it as a kid, Paul?
I think I didn't get it, and it was the pacing. Like, it just didn't grab me at the time. So, but now, like I said, it's the music. Once you've listened to the music, you hear how well it's done. The story actually is quite engaging, and once you've experienced life a bit, I guess it really kind of makes you enjoy it that much
more. Maybe it's more relatable. Yeah.
More relatable.
Is there a movie like that for you, Brando, that, like, you kind of didn't like it so much as a kid, but grew to like it more as an adult?
I don't think so. I honestly don't think so. I would say maybe the opposite, like the clay or the stop motion Rudolph, as you mentioned. Like, I'm not sure I could really sit down and enjoy that as much now I did when I was younger. That probably, I don't know when the switch was, because it was part of our tradition growing up as a family. We would always watch it. Mm-hmm. And I think my dad had it recorded on VHS, but we also always tried to catch, like, I think they always played it on CBC as well at some point. Yep. So he tried to catch that.
I think they still do, to be honest. I think they still play it on TVs nowadays. Me. Yeah. It's funny because, like, I feel like I would think the same way. However, I think it's not that I stopped, like, purposefully stopped watching it. It just became less important to me than the other movies. Like, Christmas Vacation is one of those movies, and so is A Christmas Story, that, like, makes me feel excited for Christmas, you know? There's something about it, and I think it has something to do with, like, the buildup of, like, coming toward Christmas Day to actually being, in A Christmas Story's case, to actually being on Christmas Day. Same as, like, Home Alone and stuff. There's sort of a buildup to it, and that's the thing you kind of get excited about. Whereas with those, you know, those movies, because you're a kid, you're into them because they're sort of cartoon style, and, you know, you think you're learning about how Christmas, you know, began and things like that, right? So it's kind of like this thought in your head that there's this magic behind it. Whereas as an adult, I feel like it's not so exciting anymore. I still watch it, though. If it comes on TV, I'll still watch the Rudolph, you know, stop motion show. You know, if Garfield Christmas came back on TV, I'd probably watch that again too.
You have Burl Ives has such a cool voice.
Yeah. You have to wonder if, like, Rudolph is, like, can be somewhat of a Halloween movie as well with that abominable snowman.
He's
kind of freaky looking.
He just needed a dentist.
Yeah. actually, a movie that I loved when I was younger, like as a kid, that I don't necessarily like as much now. It's probably because I'm not as big a Bill Murray fan as I used to be. Scrooged.
Oh yeah. Scrooged. It's been a while since I've seen that movie. Actually, I've seen it probably twice.
Yeah, it doesn't. I don't think it holds up as well now as it did back when it was obviously still kind of a young movie. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just one of those ones that doesn't hold up well. Also compared to, let's say, you know, Jingle All the Way by Arnold Schwarzenegger, that's one of the most quotable Christmas movies I've ever seen.
Turbo Man. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's funny because
I put the cookie down.
The temperaments are all gone.
It's so funny because I think about, you know how you were talking about Elf and having to see Elf and stuff. Like, Elf is definitely one of those movies that I enjoy. Obviously, I'll watch it every time it's on. It's not one of the ones that I feel like I have to watch, but I do enjoy it when I do watch it. It's probably the most recent, or like the newest kind of, how do you call it, like a classic Christmas movie, right?
Yeah, yeah. So when that movie came out, I would have been 17, and I have a bit of a funny story about that. We watched it as a family, and it was like our typical, you know, like Friday night, we go rent a movie, and mom makes appies, and we sit down and we watch it. It was around Christmas time, and yeah. I still, to this day, there were two instances in that movie that I have never heard my dad laugh as hysterically as he did. And it was one of those, I mean, it was two of, but it was that type of laugh where even when you get done, you still have the random chuckles for like the next half hour.
Yeah.
And the first one in that movie was when he randomly picks up the phone and goes, "Buddy the Elf, what's your favorite color?" And my dad just lost it. I thought he was going to pee himself. It was the, and then of course we're all laughing. It was funny, but we're all laughing because he's laughing.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
And the second instance is when he's on the date and they almost get hit by the cab and he's like, "Watch out for the yellow ones. They don't stop." And just the hysterical lines. Laughter coming out of that man, and I mean, my dad's not typically that kind of guy, but he just went nuts, and it just it's one of those things that I'll never forget for the rest of my life.
Totally, it has that sort of soft spot in your heart, right? Part of me wonders if those specific scenes are improvised by him.
I know, I like wonder the that lines. Too.
Yeah, did you guys know that that movie was filmed in Vancouver?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was filmed in Vancouver. I believe it was like partially filmed in Toronto as well. But the majority of the film was filmed in Vancouver, which is pretty cool.
Man, that movie made me have such a big crush on Zoe Deschanel.
Yeah.
She was so cute in that movie. she actually did I think it was like a New Year's and Christmas duet with Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah.
I believe it was about 7 or 8 years ago.
It was just after they did the it was just after they did the movie 500 Days of Summer. They did a duet together, and then I think they realized they could do some damage with duets. She's an incredible singer. Like, she's a really good singer. We discovered that in the movie Elf, actually, when she's singing "Baby It's Cold Outside." So yeah.
She sounds very similar to Ella Fitzgerald.
She does.
It's like that jazz, that jazzy style. Yeah.
She adds that like vibrato to her voice and stuff. It's like really, really cool. Like a talent for sure.
Do you guys have any like traditions that you remember either as a child or a kid that you would, not necessarily movie related, but just things that you would do?
Like holiday traditions? For me, the only thing I can actually think of in particular is like Christmas morning when we wake up. You as a child are not allowed to touch your presents. In fact, you're allowed to touch. You're allowed to touch your stocking. You can have your stocking, so whatever's in your stocking and stuff. But you're not allowed to even touch your presents until everybody's awake. Like, everybody has to be awake to watch you open. But you can't do any present opening at all until you've had your breakfast for the morning. No. So in our case, we had to have cereal. Yeah. So it's like, and even if I didn't want cereal, like if I didn't want anything for breakfast, I still had to have it in order to open presents. So it was like, got to get your food in.
The gatekeeper.
Yeah. Yeah. that's the major one I can think of. I can't think of any other sort of traditions that we did every year other than really that.
We did the milk and cookies that world renowned, right? It was similar for us. It wasn't breakfast. We had to wait till mom and dad woke up. Sometimes it wasn't until like 9 or 10, so we were kind of ticked off about
nightmares.
That because we're up at like 4 a.m. We're like, come on, I know. Santa, let's get going here.
My parents were like, it's 4:30 in the morning, go back to bed.
But Santa's coming.
Yeah. Too excited.
But nothing, I guess. so much so beyond that. Like, we did Christmas lights sometimes. We had a Dickens village that we put up every year before Christmas. So, and so that was, you know, porcelain houses, and like a, my dad and mom had like a whole like countertop kind of thing where they put like snow down. They had all the houses down. They had the little figurines, and that's they all cool. light up. There's a little train that, you know, had a little choo-choo sound that went with it. It was every year we had the Dickens village put up, and my mom still raves about it, you know.
That's awesome.
Whenever I talk to her about it at Christmas.
Does does she still do it?
I believe so. I haven't kind of checked in with her whether she does or not. It's been a couple of years since I've had Christmas with her, but
yeah, fair enough.
But I imagine that she still does. I'm pretty sure she has all the figurines still.
Yeah, when my grandma was still around, you know, she passed away in 2014. But when she was still around, she used to do that as well. She used to have the little village, and she would like collect a new piece for it every year. It was like a tradition for her. So it was kind of cool to see all that, and like, you know, you'd go and visit her, and you'd get to look at all the details of everything and stuff. They were really cool. I know, like, there's a lot of people out there who collect those things, and obviously it's a fun tradition, but really neat to sort of see the like lifelike reality of like the little specks of detail. Like, there'd be like a little shop, and you could see like product on the shelf, you know, within the shop and stuff, which is kind of fun. So,
decorated. My mom has an entire. Oh yeah, that's a big one. Yeah, that was a big one. Yeah. Yeah. My mom still has ceramic villages that she made herself and did all detail and did everything herself. Yeah, it's crazy.
She's so artsy. It's massive. Mom. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. We had quite a few traditions that we would do, actually, if I can list a couple of them for you guys. But
yeah, please.
Kind of the start to our Christmas season was always the Ladysmith Light Up, or what they call technically the Festival of Lights, which actually I believe is tomorrow.
What? Really? Oh.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the last Thursday of November. Yeah, and that was kind of the kickoff for us. We always did that. I haven't been in about 3 years now. A lot of the time it's, I think 4 years ago we went, was it right after COVID? Or maybe it was even before COVID, but it was so cold and so rainy that it was miserable, to be honest with you. And nobody even had a good time. It was hard to even enjoy it even a little bit, even though it was that kind of tradition that you get accustomed to love. But it was just so cold and miserable and rainy that we haven't been in a while. That was kind of the first one. The second one that we would always do is we would always go as a family to Gogo's Christmas tree farm.
Oh yeah, okay. And we'd you guys had a real tree then?
Always had a real tree. Yep. Only the last couple of years, I would say, we as families, individual, together and individual, we haven't had a real tree. Even up until probably, I would say, 2 years ago, we were always getting a real tree. Wow. So mom would always make like a picnic lunch and, you know, thermos full of hot chocolate and coffee for her and dad, obviously. And yeah, we'd go out for 4 or 5 hours it would take to look for a tree. Even though a lot of the time we claimed that the first one we look at, and we go, yeah, that's a good one. Let's mark it. Dad would put like this little colored tape on it. We'll come back to it. And it's like, we always joke because we always do the whole loop and take 3 hours to find a tree. Yet we always usually seem to take that first one you saw
come
anyway.
Back to the first tree.
Exactly.
Well, because what you're doing is you're comparing all the other trees to that tree. And then you're just like, nothing else compares. So that's the one.
Yeah. and then I would say like, as a young kid or a younger person, the only other one that I can remember would be, it was always Christmas Eve dinner at either my granny and grandpa's or my aunt's house, which is both were on my mom's side. Then again, that was probably only within the last even 4 years that's changed. Maybe COVID. Mm-hmm. Other than that, we did that every year up until then. So
wow.
25 years basically.
So one thing I discovered from my wife, obviously marrying her this year, Filipinos tend to put their Christmas tree up like right at the end of summer.
Wow. Yeah, I've actually heard that rumor before. Yeah.
Now, ours was a little bit late this year because we moved. But that is something I'm going to have to get used to because I've never done it earlier than after Halloween. So
that's funny.
Mine might not even go up for 2 more weeks.
I know. I usually wait until my daughter's birthday before I put any Christmas decorations up at all, because I want her to feel like we're celebrating her specifically before we celebrate something else. So coming up pretty soon here, we're gonna put them up. Her birthday's actually tomorrow, so nice. So after tomorrow we'll be putting them up again and everything, so it'll be fun. It's funny, Brando, I haven't had a real tree since I was a kid. I miss it so much. There's something about having that pine smell that just really brings that Christmas feeling, you know, and I remember it so well as a kid. I probably haven't had a real tree since I was about 12, maybe 13, 14, but yeah, it's been a long time. Yeah. It's so obviously controversial for a lot of people to have a real tree, but I mean, they exist, right? Like there are literally Christmas tree farms. Trees are farmed to be used for Christmas. So, you know, it is a purpose. I miss those days. The reason why we don't have a real tree is just because of the amount of, you know, needles it leaves and things like that. It tends to be a little messy. Yeah. And in your case, Paul, you've got it up at the end of summer. You need that tree to last a long time. So when do they usually once or twice. Yeah. When do they usually take it down, out of curiosity?
I haven't asked her that. If it's July, February, March. Yeah,
and then go back up in August. Yeah. They're big on Christmas, that's for sure.
It's because we don't want to put the decorations away, so, you know, that's...
Yeah, that's right.
Part of the process.
I mean, I get that. I get that a lot. I mean, there's a reason why on the outside of my house, I put permanent lights that are there all year round, because I do not want to climb on my roof anymore. It's literally dangerous, right? I've almost fallen off my roof so many times, so I definitely don't want to go through that again.
Yeah, that's fair.
Gentlemen, we've talked a lot about Christmas, but I think we got to get into some sports talk here. Something I've been thinking about for a while now, and actually this is courtesy of Brandon's god brother, I believe you said, god brother, Josh.
Josh, yeah.
Shout out to Josh. He's a big fan. He's a big listener of the show. He gave me an idea of a game we can play that I think would be really fun, because I think there are some of these numbers in particular that we're going to talk about that we may differ on certain things here. So what we're going to do, and this is going to take a few episodes of the show. We're not going to do the whole thing for today, but what we're going to do is we're going to list numbers 1 through 99. These are jersey numbers, numbers that people wore in the NHL or any sport necessarily. It doesn't have to be the NHL, but your favorite number, the favorite player that wore that specific number. So today we're going to start with numbers 1 through 15, and then on another episode we'll go, you know, 16 through 31 and so on and so on. So today we're going to do 1 through 15. Gentlemen, let's talk about your favorite player to wear number 1.
Now, I just want to say a quick disclaimer is that they're not all necessarily my favorite player from my list.
Okay.
It's more about, like, the most memorable player.
Maybe the best player.
The first one that came to mind in some situations.
That works, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Who wants to start?
You go ahead, Brando.
Well, I'm going to steal yours then, but number one, I got to go with Lou, Mr. Roberto Luongo.
Yeah. That's what I was Wasn't there a number one on Calgary?
Me.
What?
Yeah. Me, he says. No, but wasn't there a goalie that wore number one in Calgary? Or am I thinking?
I don't think Mike Verdon did.
That's who I was thinking of. Okay. What number did he wear?
I'm looking that up right now.
Okay.
Because Roberto Luongo said the reason he chose number one is because number one is the best.
Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty good reason. That's a pretty good reason. Yeah.
And I do believe the Florida Panthers retired his number a couple years ago. Yeah.
The Canucks Vernon. Gave him like a ring of honor in their arena.
Nice. Yeah. Vernon wore number 30.
Right. Oh, 30. Okay. What number did Kipersoff wear? Was that 31?
I believe he was 34.
34. I knew it was in the 30s. I just couldn't remember which one. So who's your number one, Paul? Obviously, in this game, by the way, it's not you have to choose a different player than that guy. You can have the same player if you want to.
We all had to come up with these lists ahead of time, so.
Exactly, yeah. Without knowing what the other guy was going to pick.
Well, Luongo. probably, I would think... Now that I'm not choosing Roberto, Warren Moon, actually, because he played in both the CFL and the NFL.
That's right. Yep. Yeah, that's right. And a hell of a player he was, too. For me, I was going to choose Luongo, too, but I think that's kind of the obvious choice for me. I'm going to go even further back with the Canucks still and go with Kirk McLean for me.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Captain Kirk. And that's why Roberto Luongo's number didn't get retired by the Canucks, because Kirk McLean also wore number one. And they're both equally kind of memorable for Canuck fans. So that's kind of the rule there. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Number two, gentlemen. Number two.
Well, I won't go first again. Why don't you go, Paul?
Paul, you go first.
I'm sure one of you guys probably thinks this as well. Derek Jeter. With the New York Yankees, one of the greatest hitters
ever.
That's
who you were going with?
That's who I'm going with.
No, I was pointing. I mean, that's Brando. And who you're going with as well?
This guy. I was just referencing Paul saying that this. I'm sure one of you guys chose this.
Yeah.
Me.
Yeah.
It was me.
So you're going with Jeter as well, Brando.
It's kind of the only one that came to mind for me. Hall of Famer.
The one that comes to mind for me, I'm sticking with hockey, is Mattias Ohlin for Vancouver. Before Quinn Hughes, he was the best.
That makes sense.
He was the best defenseman Vancouver ever had before Quinn Hughes. So for me, that's the guy I'm sticking with. I think a lot of my picks are going to be hockey related, just because hockey is the one sport that I watched the most. As a kid, there might be the odd CFL player I throw in there, but for the most part, it's hockey.
I had a feeling Paul might pick Jeter, and I thought, well, maybe I'll go Al MacInnis, but he just didn't have the same impact on me and kind of my growing up watching sports as Derek Jeter did. As much as I hate the Yankees, you can't deny the guy was unbelievable. Very true. So,
very true. All right, number three, gentlemen, who's got your number three spot?
You got to go first, Joe.
Okay, well, for me, it's Kevin Bieksa. Kevin Bieksa, number three for me. He basically brought Vancouver to the Stanley Cup final, winning that with that shot off the stanchion, scoring on San Jose to win the game. For me, that was epic, and it wasn't just that play. He was a very exciting defenseman for Vancouver. So number three for me is Kevin Bieksa.
I'm going to go with a Giant, and Zdeno Chara was my favorite number three.
Yeah, he was number three with Ottawa, wasn't he?
Ottawa?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you say Giant, was that when he played in the WHL? Did he play in the WHL?
No,
Giant. He played in the OHL. It's just because he's giant.
Call him giant because he's tall.
Just because he's giant. Yeah.
He's literally giant.
And I call Martin St. Louis tiny.
7'14", Joe.
right. Yeah. 7'14". Weighing 60 billion pounds.
Guy had like a 7-foot stick, you know, like he was a towering defenseman and was really good at the game. Part of what made me remember him so much was the fact that he was traded for Alexi Yashin he was traded to get Alexi Yashin as well as Jason Spezza, the number two overall pick.
That's right.
And so, yeah, that always sticks in my memory. And he was great in Ottawa. I never thought they should keep Wade Redden over him, and they did, and it cost them.
Yep, for sure. And I mean, I just with him, I think of the hardest shot, right? He won the hardest shot competition.
Yeah.
I think it was like 108 miles an hour or something like that. I can't remember, but it was huge. It was a big shot.
I just remember him ragdolling Brian McCabe in front of the net once. Oh, my goodness. Oh, Lord. Yep. Okay.
Brando, what about you? What about you?
I'm going to go with rest in peace, Wade Bielak. Actually,
Bielak. Okay.
Yeah, another player gone too soon. One of those guys who fought everybody on the ice and had to fight demons off the ice as well. quick story about him with the number three is that he actually wore number two with the Leafs for a while, and then the Leafs traded to get Brian Leetch. And then Bielak switched to number three at that point. My curiosity would be, I wonder how much that cost Brian Leetch. What, I was thinking maybe like 50K? Like, how much would it have cost him? Probably. 50K and a really nice watch or something like that, you know, switch numbers. But yeah, Wade Bielak is my pick.
All right, now I have to do a little research because I have, sorry, I'm away from the camera. I have to do a little research because I have to look up specific to make sure that I'm right on this player for number four. So give me your number four, and while you're doing that, I'm going to look up my player.
Okay, I'll go first with this one again to round out the rotation. And I will go with the great Robert Orr.
Oh, yes.
Bobby.
It's a bit of a cop-out because I couldn't really think of anybody else.
At least you said Robert.
Paul? Bobby's a good choice. Yeah, if I wasn't going with Bobby, probably one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, Brett Favre.
Favre.
I'm pretty sure it's Favre. Favre. yeah, like I loved Green Bay actually growing up. Like I said, I was always a CFL fan, but if I ever watched NFL, it was Kurt Warner and Brett Favre was the two that I really liked a lot. And I always think of whenever I think of Brett, I always think of there's something about Mary and the fact that
hence why I said that
was Brett, her boyfriend.
No, 100%. You know, for me, I actually go to football with my number four as well, but it's not the NFL, it's the CFL. And there's actually a player currently playing on the BC Lions who I absolutely adore. His name is Keon Hatcher, and he is a receiver for the BC Lions, number four. One of the best players on the team right now. He's incredible. So that's my guy.
Nice.
Number five.
This is a slam dunk for me, Nicklas Lidström. Probably the greatest defenseman ever to play
kinda,
the game.
Kind of hard not to pick Lidström for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got Lidström too. Yeah.
Yeah. Me too. Lidström as well. I was gonna pick a Canuck. I was gonna go with Jovanovski. But then I was like, no, Lidström was a better defenseman, so I'll go with him. I know he wore 55 at one point, but he was number five at 1.2. So number six, gentlemen, number six. Who are you going with?
Go ahead, Joe.
My number six is, I was going to, again, sticking with hockey and sticking with the Canucks too, I was going to go with Brock Besser, but he's still not quite the player that I expected him to be, so I'm not going to go with Brock Besser, but I will go with Sammy Salo, one of the hardest shots on defense for Vancouver, so.
Nice.
However, injury
Sammy
prone.
Sammy Salo.
Yeah.
I'll go Dr. J, Julius Irving.
Nice.
He played many professional seasons, but 11 when it was the NBA, and they were all with the 76ers. So royalty for the 76ers, Dr. J.
Definitely.
Probably the next king that there ever is going to be in the, or I guess he is the king as it is, King James, number six.
Past number six. LeBron. Yep.
Yeah, LeBron James.
You're absolutely right. When you're right, you're right. All right, boys, number seven. What do you got for number seven?
Okay, I'll go back to the big guy, the first NHL player to ever record 100 points, and captain Team Canada at the 72 Summit Series. That was Phil Esposito.
Esposito. Nice. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Esposito.
What's funny, he was traded to the Rangers in 75, and he switched to the number 77 because Rod Gilbert for the Rangers already wore number 7. So
that's funny. Yeah.
Yep.
That's the way it goes. For me, number 7, again, I got to stick to close to home for me, Vancouver, Cliff Ronning, number 7. Absolutely incredible player. Basically the same kind of player that Connor Garland is now. Small size, but was very impactful on the ice. And for me, that's my number 7.
Nice.
I'm going to switch up sports. Now, a lot of people probably would choose Cristiano Ronaldo. But the one player that sticks out for me for number 7 when it comes to soccer is David Beckham.
Bend it like Beckham. Did he also wear 14 at some point?
I think what the Galaxy did.
He yeah, when he came to North America or something? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I feel like I remember him wearing a 14 at one point, but yeah, 7. Obviously more notable wearing number 7 in Europe for sure. Okay, number 8, Paul.
Again, a lot of people would probably choose the Great 8, but for me, I loved Timo Solani growing up. So he's my favorite number 8. First player to, or besides Gretzky, I guess, to hit 70.
Because he had was in his rookie year, too.
Rookie year. I mean, Pavel Bure's rookie year, he hit some pretty big numbers, too. I think it was something like 60 goals in his rookie year. I could be wrong, but I think so. What about you, Brando? What's your number 8?
My number 8 actually was very torn, and neither of them are the players that Paul just mentioned. I'm going to go with Cal Ripken Jr.
Ooh, okay.
But it was really close, and I don't want to steal yours, Joe, so maybe I'll just wait and mention it after. But okay. Cal Ripken was the one I ended ultimately chose.
Yeah, mine is Ovechkin. For me, you know, you can't get where you're at. You know what I mean? Without you know, you've got the greatest goal scorer in the NHL ever right now with number 8. So yeah, for me, that's the guy.
So I was going to choose Kobe Bryant. That was my toss up. He eventually ended up switching to 24, but I think he wore number 8 for like the first 9 or 10 seasons of his career.
Something like that, yeah.
And then it wasn't until he switched to 24 after that, so yeah.
Nope, for sure. I that's a good choice, too. Kobe is probably the biggest quoted, Kobe! You know, whenever somebody throws a basket, throws something into a garbage can or whatever, it's always Kobe. Yeah, so that's number 8. Number 9. If I think of my big number 9... for me, it would have to be Mr. Hockey, right? Gordie Howe.
Yeah. Yeah,
I have a feeling all three of us got that one.
Yeah. It's kind of hard not to go with that, right?
Some would say that we just gave it the Gordie Howe hat trick.
Very true. Very true. Although none of us fought or got an assist or scored a goal. So
I tell you, with how much jaw pain I got right now, I feel like someone fought me. Holy smokes.
Okay, well, would you call your jaw pain, on a scale of 1 to 10, would you call your jaw pain a 10? Because that's what number we're at right now.
No, but unfortunately, I couldn't really think of many number 10s, so this pick might be as painful as my jaw right now, to be honest with you. It's the only one I could think of, and he is a Leaf, and that's Gary Volk, ex-Canuck, too.
That's right, yep. He actually still lives in Vancouver. His son played in the BCHL like 2 seasons ago or 3 seasons ago or something like that. I used to run into him in that rink all the time. Paul, what about you? What's your number 10?
I'm going to stick with soccer again. Lionel Messi.
Lionel Messi.
Lionel, however you pronounce it.
Lionel Messi.
I knew who you meant. I knew you meant.
In the past, I might have picked Zinedine Zidane, just because he was one of my favorite players growing up. But
the only reason I can't pick Zidane is because the whole headbutt thing.
Yeah, that's kind of what turns me around on that as well.
Such a controversial thing, right? But yeah.
But even like, if you look at a guy like Messi, right? Like, not to pick on his height, he is of short stature, and yet is lights out and everything that he can do in the game.
He's pretty incredible. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Now he's getting up there in age, so you're not seeing like incredible numbers in the MLS right now for him. But you know, and I mean, it's the same reason. It's the same thing you're seeing out of, like, you know, Thomas Muller in Vancouver. Like these players come over from being stars over there in Europe, come over here to basically finish their careers in the MLS, right? Just so we get a chance to actually see them play. I'm happy enough to have a guy like Muller on my team. I think the benefit being, and I know he's not a number 10, but the benefit being is that he's impactful to the team, just like, you know, Messi would be to Miami, right? Like, he's impactful, and he brings that experience of how to win to your team as well. For me, my number 10 is obviously Pavel Bure. I have to go that route, right? So Pavel Bure, number 10. He did eventually switch to number 96, but he stuck with 10. He actually ended up going back to 10, actually, after a little while, too, of being number 96. So for me, Pavel Bure is the guy. There is no player more anticipated for a Vancouver Canucks team than Pavel Bure was when he was drafted. Literally, people lined up for blocks to see this guy play hockey. So it's pretty impactful. That's my number 10. Number 11, nobody say Messier.
Yeah, no. I probably could default and say Max Domi, but he should be in the press box right now. So I'm going to go with a former Leaf that's definitely not eligible for the press box, and that's Zach Hyman.
Zach Hyman. Nice. Yep. Yep. Nice. Zach, he's playing on the Oilers. I think he's come back already, hasn't he? Or he's on his way back?
Yeah.
I think he is back.
Yeah, he's playing right now.
I think he is back.
Yeah, yeah. He is.
Yeah.
He's unreal player. He's well-rounded.
Yeah.
I was just kidding, by the way, when I said don't say Messi. You're allowed to – or Messier, pardon me. You're allowed to say Messier because that's who I have, unfortunately, as much as I hate the guy as a Canuck fan. That's for me, is the only notable number 11 that I can think of, you know, that played the game. So
makes sense. For me, if you hadn't chose Zach Hyman, like I already figured you were going to, one of my absolute favorite Leafs growing up, especially when I was young, was Mike Gartner, and he played with number 11.
Yeah,
nice.
Number 11.
Yeah, just, and funny enough, my dad actually knew him when they lived together in Ontario.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Small world.
Small world.
Here we are at number 12.
A little bit before my time.
Didn't Here get we are at number watch, 12. You know, you never got to see Gartner play?
Not really, no.
I feel like I remember watching him play.
Classic. He's so good. He was really good.
He played with Gilmore, didn't he?
He did, yeah. I think they're on
Wendell Clark,
actually.
Yeah.
And Wendell Clark, yep.
Well, that'd have been a nuts old line.
Goes back a few years. Okay, number 12. My number 12 goes back to the CFL. Nathan Rourke for me, number 12. He is the future, the present, the somewhat, you know, slight past of the BC Lions. This guy means the world to that team. And, you know, I think one day he's going to have to win a Grey Cup or he doesn't stay on the team. So for me, it's Nathan Rourke.
Nice. I got to go with Mr. Flame himself, pretty much, or Flames, I guess. Jerome Iginla. He was amazing.
Of course.
The Flames.
Of course.
I can't knock pick him.
No, you can't. You would have to lose your Flames fandom card.
And, like, they were so close to winning the Stanley Cup back in 03-04. It broke all of Calgary's heart that they didn't. But the funny thing is, like, even though they lost that series, the city came together. Like, we were all cheering even after they lost. You know, it was it was quite the thing to watch.
What about you, Brando?
I don't want to deflate your guys' egos, but you all picked the wrong one. I'm going with Tom Brady.
Oh, that Tom Brady. Oh, that Tom Brady. Yeah, I just, you know, for me, I couldn't not pick Nathan Rourke, because that's, you know, that's how meaningful he is to me and my team. So,
yeah.
Well, number 13 can go many different ways. If I remember correctly, was Guy Lafleur number 13?
I don't care.
You don't care.
I don't have
access to my laptop to look it up. Can you look it up for me? I believe he was number 13.
Looks like it was 10 with them when he played with the Montreal Canadiens.
It was 10.
And then he wore number 4 in the QMJHL.
Okay.
So it looks like it was
maybe it was 10.
Number 10.
Number 10. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I stand corrected. I had him at 13 because I was sure he was at 13, but then I second guessed myself, and it turns out I second guessed myself right. He was not number 13. So I'm gonna let you guys. I'm gonna concede to you guys, and maybe you can inspire me to choose a number 13. What do you got? What have you got for number 13?
I think Brandon and I are gonna choose the same one.
Guarantee it.
Quite positive. Guarantee it. Mr. Sweet himself, Matt Sundin.
Matt Sundin. And Matt, you know what? Sundin. He wore number 13 for Vancouver as well. So that's my pick as well.
Can't believe he did that. Can't believe he did that.
He didn't even play a full season for Vancouver. He played, he was signed in December or something like that. I don't think he joined the team until January.
It was January. Yeah. Trust me, I know. It was heartbreaking.
They flew out to Sweden to talk to him and convince him to play for the team, and it worked.
you know what's interesting? I got to say this just because I think we probably have a little bit of time anyway, but there's a lot of people who wore 13 that you could pick. And like Wilt Chamberlain, Steve Nash, James Harden, Paul George, Alex Rodriguez, Dan Marino, Kurt Warner. Like, oh, man, I didn't realize there were so many. There's a lot of good players there.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. Well, I mean, if I give myself a little bit more time to search these things, I'll make sure I have it ready for next time we play, which is going to be 16 onward. But let's go on to 14. 14 can be anybody. Can be anybody.
Go ahead.
I guess
you go ahead. You go ahead.
You want me to go? I'm going to. I have a feeling Paul and I might have picked the same one again.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to gamble. I'll leave it for Paul because I'm sure he might have a story. So we'll see here. I'll go with Matt Stajan. I'll pick Matt Stajan.
Stajan.
I don't think we have the same person we're thinking of.
Okay.
The player I'm thinking of he's got a lot of notoriety, but is considered one of the greatest players of all time in the Major League Baseball, and that was Pete Rose.
Okay. Pete Rose. Okay. Yeah. I mean, the guy broke a lot of records. Unfortunate the way it worked out for him and that with that gambling thing, but it would have been nice for him to actually get into the Hall of Fame.
Oh, God. You're sitting there saying, he broke a lot of records, and all I can think of is he broke a lot of casinos.
Yeah. Casino records. My number 14 is also a former Vancouver Canuck, and that, of course, is Brandon's favorite Vancouver Canuck. Alexander Burrows.
Tabernacle. God, that guy can bite my finger if he wants and see what happens when I do with my foot.
The reason I pick him in particular is because of the performance that he put out there playing with the Sedins. I mean, it's probably because he was with the Sedins that he was so good. But, I mean, he figured it out. Like, he figured out how to play with them better than anybody else that played with them. So, for me, that's why he's where he is at for me.
See, he was an unbelievably effective player.
Yeah.
I constantly link him to Steve Auger because of that whole situation.
Stéphane Auger. Yeah, Stéphane Auger, the stupid referee. Auger. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
To be honest, he reminds me of Corey Perry. Like, they're the exact same player.
Yeah, right. You're not wrong. Yeah. I think Corey Perry's a little dirtier, but yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. Paul, I thought you were going to go with Dave Keon for number 14.
No, I have a Leaf for number 15, but...
Okay. Yeah, I do too.
15 is our last number, so let's see what you got here, boys. 15, let's go.
Go ahead, Paul.
I think it's the only player to score 10 points in a single game. And that is Mr. Okay. Daryl Sittler.
Nice. Not much, same one that I got, so that's good.
Nice. Good, good. I know who you're
I'm not going to lie to you right now. Yeah, I know. Joe, just so you're aware, Shorty is wearing a really nice tie tonight.
Oh, is he? Okay. All right.
Yeah. Good to know. Yeah. You'll have to check it out later.
I will.
My number 15, he sits seventh all time in the Toronto Maple Leafs assist category. And ironically, the same jersey number all time, number 15 in points with 520, and that's Thomas Caberle. Tomas Caberle.
Very happy that he won a cup. It's too bad it was with the team I hate, but nonetheless, I was happy that he won a cup.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, I actually was going with Sittler as well. So for me, that's probably the best ultimate 15 I can think of. I can't think of any others like that really stand out for me. Vancouver's never really had a big number 15. Anybody who like taken that number and ran with it. But I know once we get on to from 16 onwards, there's some big players I think that are impactful when it comes to my team and when it comes to like my, you know, my fandom of the game, and especially number 19, and it's not who you think it is. So I can't wait till we do this one again and actually get a chance to bring out some big guns, I think, for the next one.
Teaser.
Yeah, a little teaser. You know, Christmas is just around the corner. I'm really looking forward to watching those Christmas movies. What's the first Christmas movie you're going to watch? What's the very first Christmas movie you're going to watch? If you haven't already watched one, of course. Paul, you never know. You were set up in July, so you've probably already seen about six of them. But
not quite.
Die Hard for you, Brando? Die Hard's your number one?
I think so. Most likely.
What about you,
Paul?
Yeah,
probably Die Hard for myself as well. If it's not Die Hard, then probably Nightmare for Christmas then.
Okay. For me, it's always Christmas Vacation. That's the very first movie we watch. What I like to do is I like to set up my projector and watch it on the big screen, so I've got like a movie theater experience, and then we watch Christmas Vacation. It's always the first one.
Now, one I'm actually thinking of, and it's the old was always a good one, was the Grinch.
Yep.
The cartoon was always really good, but Jim Carrey, when he did the live action, amazing. Did such
kind of hard to beat it. I mean, literally, you can go to Disneyland and visit the Grinch. It's pretty incredible. I think it's Disneyland. Yeah. It might not be. It might be Universal. I can't remember. But
I think it's
there's
Universal.
There's literally like a guy dressed as the Grinch, and you get to meet him, and he's funny and Grinchy, and you know, so it's kind of cool to watch. I've seen a lot of the stuff on TikTok and whatnot to talk about it. So pretty funny. Yeah,
I'm gonna make a promise to you guys right now.
Okay,
I am going to make sure for the first time in my life I watch A Christmas Vacation.
Nice. Dude. Yes.
You've missed out so long.
Oh, my. Yeah. You're going to sit there and you're going to be like, this is so outdated. But the thing about it is it's for me, it's nostalgic. It's, you know, it's a perfect example of like a National Lampoon's Vacation movie. And what's funny is it's not even a vacation movie. Like, they don't go anywhere. They stay home.
Yeah.
But it's just Chevy Chase playing the character and the family, you know. It's always, the funny thing about the vacation movies is it's always different characters playing the kids, or different actors, I mean, playing the kids. In this case, Johnny Galecki, who you might remember from The Big Bang Theory or Roseanne, he is the son. And Juliette Lewis is the daughter, Audrey and Rusty. So it's kind
really?
Of interesting
okay.
to see.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and they actually changed the dynamic
I know
Juliette
Lewis,
in this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, they actually changed the dynamic in this one where Rusty is actually the younger sibling and Audrey's the older, whereas the other vacation movies, Audrey's the younger sibling and Rusty's the older sibling. So they kind of changed it around a little bit. It's kind of fun the way they do it. And it doesn't take you away from the movies, but I mean, everybody in the movie kind of makes the movie, and that's the best part about the vacation movies in general. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited to watch Christmas movies. Well,
yeah,
gentlemen,
there's the one.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
Okay. There's the one line in that movie. It has to do with Clark trying to do the Christmas lights, and you know, the whole Christmas lights thing parts. It's the part where he goes up to his dad and he's like, you know, thank you, but Dad, you taught me everything about exterior illumination.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And then his father-in-law is like, the lights aren't twinkling, Clark. Yes. Thank you for noticing that. I love it. Oh, that's his father-in-law. Oh, that's so funny.
So funny.
Yeah. There's some good acting in that movie. It's great. Well, gentlemen, that's going to do it for... pardon me. Let me try that again. Well, gentlemen, that's going to do it for this episode. Hopefully you guys had a good time talking about Christmas movies, getting excited for the Christmas season, talking about your favorite jersey numbers. If you have jersey numbers that maybe we didn't list in our list, let us know in the comments below here on YouTube, or you can check us out on social media at The Puck and Pod. We would love to hear from you, so make sure you reach out to us and let us know what you want us to talk about, or even, like I said, if you want to participate in the little games we play, please do so. It's always fun to listen to to hear from our audience. For those of you who don't know, we're also available on Rogers TV here locally, where you can check us out, Channel 4, and we're available everywhere else as well, at The Puck and Pod. Once again, for The Puck and Pod, my name is Joe.
My name is Brandon.
And I'm Paul.
We'll see you guys on the next one.